Good evening. There we go. Welcome to our continuation of our Lenten observance as we reflect, if nothing else, upon our need for a Savior. And thanks be to God that He has given us that Savior. We continue reflecting upon God's gift to us in the Ten Commandments, with tonight being on commandment number 5, you shall not murder. I invite you to stand as you're able as we begin our service, beginning as we always do, remembering who it is that we belong to, having been claimed in the waters of holy baptism, and beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many ways that you provide for us. You give us clothing and food, house and home. You give us everything that we need to support this body and life. So Lord, I pray that we would live each day reflecting that truth and showing love to our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with Luke's passion narrative as we continue to reflect this Lenten season on the death of our Lord and Savior. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Thus concludes our reading. Our message reading for today is the ever-lengthy Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." And grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I reflected upon this commandment, "You shall not murder," the first thought that came to my mind actually was something that happened when I was in undergrad. I was a freshman studying to be a DCE. And there was one friend, I'm going to call him Chet. I've never known a guy named Chet, but I'm going to call this guy Chet. So Chet was definitely significantly less mature than the rest of us that hung around. He seemed more like a freshman in high school than a freshman in college. There were just certain things that he would say and do, things that he would find hilariously funny that the rest of us were like, wow, okay, dude, whatever. And I remember one time, Chet was in my room, in my roommate's room, and we had our lofts, our beds kind of up high lofted, bunked. He was way up there. He had kind of hid up there, and normally a very talkative fellow, but he was quietly reading for a class. And we had another friend named Jay, and Jay had forgotten that Chet was up there. And unprompted, Jay suddenly is like, you know who I can't stand? Chet. I just remember looking at Jay, my eyes got this big, and I look up at Chet, and I look back at Jay, and the look on Jay's face was priceless as he suddenly realized, oh my goodness. Anything else he might have said in that moment as to what he thought about Chet and why, all vanished. He collects himself. Chet is now looking down at Jay, and Jay looks at him and says, that's right, Chet. Sometimes you really frustrate me. And he goes on to tell him kind of why in a semi-constructive fashion. But the reason why this is what occurred to me when thinking about you shall not murder really relates to another part in the Bible, in the words of Jesus, specifically from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So I just want to point something out. Excuse me. My apologies. This might be a lot of this sermon, so bear with me. Okay. I want to point something out here about what I just read. So you have anger. And from anger, it kind of seems to get a little bit less. You just, you know, you insult somebody, at least in my mind. I'd rather be insulted by somebody than have them be angry with me. Maybe that's just me. But it seems to be kind of like a lessening. And then you have someone in kind of saying, you know, you fool, you idiot. Kind of me seems less. And yet, notice then the inverse of what Jesus is getting out of. Well, if you're angry with someone, then you're liable to judgment, just as if you had murdered somebody. And actually, if you even insult them, it's even greater. You're liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, well, then you're liable to the hell of fire. And the point that Jesus is making, I think, is really recognizing the greater spirit of what God is trying to say, this is how my people shall walk as they walk in my ways. In other words, it's not just only including the physical act of taking a life. That's definitely a problem. And yet Jesus says, with your very words, with your actions, with your emotions, if you don't have control of those things, then you are just as liable as if you had murdered somebody. See, at the heart of it really is how one person feels with respect to another. If I'm going about and I see somebody who does something very foolish, I might call out to them, you're being stupid, what are you doing? And regardless of whether I'm meaning it as, you know, a warning, or perhaps if it's mostly just to mock the individual, mostly what I'm saying is I'm above that individual. I know the right way to do things, and you're just an idiot. If you just knew what to do, then you'd do it. But you don't. You fool. And the same thing if I look to somebody and I decide, they are worthy of my insult. I'm so much better than they are. And once again, it's a stratification of me above them. And even in anger, When I say that, why don't you get it? Oh my goodness, and I have the right to lose my emotions to the point of it being a fire bursting over, and now I'm above you because you just don't get it. And even though I haven't killed that person, I've still decided for myself that their life has little value to me. Because I'm not willing to control my own viewpoints. I'm not willing to keep myself in check for their sake. In other words, I, who have been made in the image of God, do not look to this other individual who's been made in the image of God and treat them accordingly. And while I might not have physically taken their life, my actions, my words communicate, you have no value to me. You are worthless. You have no place here. And that's a problem. In all of this, God's design for his people is that they would recognize, as his children, that they would treat fellow humans with the same dignity and respect that he has for them. With the same dignity and respect that God gives to you. That is what he calls you to give to others. But we sin. We struggle with our sin that speaks to us and tells us we're so much better than other people. We know so much better. If they would just understand things, then everything would be fine, but they don't. And on the cycle goes in our own minds, in our own broken, bent, sinful minds that tell us how we're awesome and others are not. The good news, as always, is that with God there is forgiveness. In other words, though we sin and we fail to uphold a respect of other image bearers of God, as we are called to do, we are invited by God to come and confess our sins and say, you know what, God, I have messed up. I've made myself a God to myself. And I have completely disrespected and disregarded others whom you have made. And I have murdered them. Not that they are physically no longer breathing, but I have killed them in my own mind. They are dead to me. Cut them off. And I confess that, God. And I'm sorry. And God, who is faithful and just, offers us forgiveness. Offers us an opportunity to say, it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to continue on in life, lifting yourself up and pushing other people down. But by the Spirit of God at work within you, you can live in the way that he designed for his people. When he made that covenant agreement with them on Mount Sinai, when he said, look what I have done for you, my people. I have brought you out of bondage of slavery. And there is more that I will do with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. And as part of that, this is how I want you to live. And the beauty of this covenant is that what God tells his people to do is what it actually is to live. In other words, doing these things is life. As you live a life demonstrating proper respect to everyone around you, you are living it how God designed it to be. And you are encouraging and uplifting the lives of other people. And so my encouragement to you this evening is to take seriously the thoughts and the words that you have thought and said regarding other people? How do you view the people around you? How does allowing, if at all, your anger to bubble up in fire demonstrate your feelings toward another? Ponder those things, and if you find in yourself reason to confess, then confess to God. A God who says, come to me, and I will give you rest. A God who says, though your sins are like scarlet, you will be white as snow. Because we come broken, and once again, God hears our confession. And he says, my child, I love you, and I forgive you, and I take these sins from you. You do not have to live in them anymore. Go with my peace. Amen. Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbled, asking again for your grace. Lord, I pray that you help us as we interact with all the people around us, that you help us to be patient, that you help us to speak kindly to them, that you help us to care for their needs. Lord, I thank you for the many blessings which you pour out upon each and every one of us. I pray that we would live in such a way that we acknowledge and recognize your blessings in our lives, and that we in turn share those blessings with others in need. Lord, I pray that you would give guidance to all of the leaders in our synod, in our district, that they would guide the churches, and that all of us would follow you. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, who's taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us this evening. I pray you have a blessed rest of your evening and rest of your week. Go in his peace. Amen.